Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Erev and daf Lamed Daled. Lamed Gimel, Lamed Daled, perhaps two of the more difficult daf in the Masechta, but let's see if we can wrap our heads around it. No, I said it yesterday, and I'm repeating it again today, but it is not. They are difficult daf. Look, the basic idea, which I think is most straightforward, is that when you set your Erev Tchum down, you have to be within access of your Erev Tchum. The Lashon of the Gemara is, Hu ve'eruvo b'makom echad. You and your Erev have to be in the same spot, in the same location. As we've been discussing now for the vast number of days, the Erev Tchum works for you by shifting your makom shvisa. It takes your point of center and moves there from what your home address once upon a time was. And then, for Shabbos, for this Shabbos, that's not your home address. This is your new home address. How are you establishing your new home address? By putting food down over here and laying it down there before Shabbos, and then as Shabbos enters, so that will become your new Makom Shvisa. More specifically, when is it going to be Kona for you? During the Bein HaShemeshos period. So as the twilight period now comes, during that twilight period, that Makom Shvisa now acquires for you. Once Shabbos has now come in full force, meaning it's now past Bein HaShemeshos, it's now Vaday Laila, it's definitely night, that's it. You've acquired now that new Makom Shvisa. What about the food? It'd be nice if we had the food around. But the truth of the matter is we don't need the food there anymore. Meaning the food was there as a mechanism of acquiring for you the Makom Shvisa. It acquired for you the Makom Shvisa, and now you can go on. Now you have a new point of center. So now on that given Shabbos, you can walk from where you are to your new Makom Shvisa. And from that Makom Shvisa, another 2,000 amos in the direction that you so chose. Ad Kan, that's the basics. And now, what we've been discussing yesterday, and we continue to discuss today, is that that Makom Shvisa is only going to work for you if when you lay the food down over there, you could access the food during the Bein HaShemeshos period. Now, the Bein HaShemeshos period is basically Shabbos. We'll talk more about that in just a second. It's basically Shabbos, so I have to be accessing the food in a way where I'm not going to be violating any Yisr Shabbos. So let's say, for an example, that my Makom Shvisa, I decide my Makom Shvisa to be on the road, on the Rishos HaRabim, and I put the food down in a Rishos HaYachid, which is next to the road. That's going to present a serious problem. Because during the Bein HaShemeshos period, I can't stand in the road and pick up my food, because I'm in the Rishos HaRabim. The food is at the Rishos HaYachid, and that would be me violating Shabbos in order to get my food. That's not Hu ve'eruvo b'makom echad. We're not, me and my Erev are not in the same place. That Erev would not work. It would not be effectuated. Good. That's all straightforward. And now, where does it get complex? It gets complex now because our Mishnah is not going to talk about where I have to violate Isuri D'Araisa in order to access my food. But what if I only need to violate Isuri D'Rabbanan? So, for example, climbing a tree. For example, let's say I put it in a Carmelis. So, in those scenarios, is the Erev going to work where by me having to access my Erev, I'm going to be violating Yisuri D'Rabbanan? Now, if it were absolutely Shabbos, the answer, of course, would be no, you can't violate Yisuri D'Rabbanan. But it's not Shabbos, it's Bein HaShemeshos, it's that twilight period. The position of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, is that a person can violate Yisuri D'Rabbanan during the Bein HaShemeshos period. And I mentioned yesterday, oddly enough, interestingly enough, the Shulchan Aruch passings like Rabbi, where you can violate Yisuri D'Rabbanan during the Bein HaShemeshos period. So therefore, the Mishnah, which describes the Erev being in a tree, and you're not allowed to use the tree on Shabbos, and yet the Erev works, our Mishnah is following the position of Rebbe, where Hu ve'eruva b'makom echad, you and your Erev in the same place, because accessing your Erev only requires you to violate Isuri D'Rabbanan, not Nisar D'Araisa, and therefore the Erev would work. If, however, you put it high in the tree, when I say high, I mean above 10 tefachim in the tree, where now it's in the Rishos HaYachid, so that's out of the question. Because then, if you are in a Rishos HaRabim and the Erev is now in the Rishos HaYachid, that's absolutely out of the question during the Bein HaShemeshos period. You're not allowed to violate Isuri D'Araisa. That's the simple and short of what we did yesterday. Why did it get more complicated? For the following reason. Because the Gemara injected now ideas of quasi-Rishos HaYachid, meaning, just to quickly review, the Gemara noted yesterday that, let's say, we saw a halacha yesterday, let's say you put your Erev in a tree that's right next to a city, on the outskirt of a city. Well, there it's not going to matter whether the Erev is below 10 tefachim or above 10 tefachim. Why? So Rava yesterday gave us this principle of masa keman demal yadama, that the city is like it's filled up, and so therefore even though you're obviously standing on the ground, but it's as if your makom shvisa can be a tefach above the ground, 2 tefachim above the ground, 10 tefachim above the ground, meaning there's no limit to how high your makom shvisa can be. And so therefore it continues to go up, and so therefore you and your Erev in the same place, even though the Erev is above 10 tefachim. Or I'll give you another example, which the Gemara spoke about yesterday. What about this idea that when I create a makom shvisa on Shabbos, I get a virtual reshus hayachid? Now, I know that's the oddest thing, and I cannot believe I'm actually saying that, but I'm saying it. You get a virtual reshus hayachid, which basically means that wherever you decide your new place of residence to be, you get 4 amos around that area. Now, generally speaking, we know with 4 amos, it's a reshus hayachid. Now, it's not a real reshus hayachid, because it's no walls. But Rav explains it's like a virtual reshus hayachid, and I'm gonna tap into that a little bit more in tomorrow's daf. But for us, for our purposes right now, just in terms of a review, so what that meant was is that once again, you're on the ground, but because of your dalat amos, it continues to go up. Meaning you could say that I'm being shoves on the ground, a tefach above the ground, 5 tefachim above the ground, 10 tefachim above the ground. So if you're Erev, if your food is directly above you, irrespective of how high it is above you, that's going to work as well. So yesterday what we had to do is we had to bend the tree, meaning that the branch went out, the branch then took a turn up, and then the Erev was in the tree, but was not directly above you. Okay, that was part of the complication of yesterday's daf, and granted, it's something that you really need to think more about so that we could wrap our head around it.
Isn't the tree already in a virtual reshus
hayachid? No. In other words, the tree's on the road.
But we're outside the city limits still?
And we're outside the city. And the tree's, right, the tree's on the road. So the tree's really, no, I mean, the trunk of the tree, again, with the right dimensions, the 4x4 and 10 tefachim high, the trunk of the tree is a reshus hayachid. But the branches that extend, you know, depending on where they extend, no, they're not going to be. Now, good. And then also what we did yesterday is we went through the machlokus between Rebbe and the Chachamim regarding whether or not a person can violate Isuri Derabbanan during the Beinos Moshes period. We saw the Braisa yesterday. The Braisa presented, this is Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, which we did yesterday. The Braisa presented a machlokus between Rebbe and the Chachamim. Rebbe's of the opinion that you can violate Isuri Derabbanan during the Beinos Moshes period. The Chachamim say you cannot violate Isuri Derabbanan. So therefore, according to the Chachamim, if the Erev is inaccessible to you because you have to violate just an Isuri Derabbanan, it's not going to work. The Erev is not going to work. Good, that we did also yesterday. And then we got onto the case of the basket, where Rebbe taught us a scenario where I put the basket, I attach it to a pole, and even if the basket is above 10 tefachim, and even though my makom shvisa was on the ground, that works. And what we were trying to struggle with yesterday is, why should that work? Meaning, what is exactly the case of the basket, according to Rebbe? So this is the question that we were dealing with yesterday. We're going to come back. We're going to take one small step backwards. We're going to go back to Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. We're going to go over the first answer again of how do you understand the case of the basket. And we're going to go over a second answer. And then we're going to go on to today's daf, which is daf Lamed Aleph. Okay. Amar Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, and the Gemara wants to know now this case of the basket. So, Hai Ilan Hechadami. 5 lines down from the bottom of the Amud. It's the last 2 words, the last 3 words in the line. Hai Ilan Hechidami. Idaleis Be'ar Ba'a Makom Pater. Who, if this branch where the basket was on, if it's not 4x4, so then it's a Makom Pater, as we've discussed a number of times. V'id'itz Be'ar Ba'a. Now, if it's 4x4 Tfachim, Kinafta Be'kalkala Ma'havi. So what if you put it in the basket? How does the basket change anything? Look, the pole is 4x4. It's above 10 tefachim. It's the reshus hayachid. And now because I put in a basket, that makes everything okay? What's going on? So I'm Ravina. So this is answer number one in terms of how to understand the case of the basket. I'm Ravina. Reisha deis be'arba'a. Seifa deleis be'arba'a. Look, there are 2 parts to the Braisa. The first part of the Braisa is where it's a standard pole, 4x4, I mean standard. 4x4 tefachim, it's 10 tefachim high, it's a reshus hayachid. You put it on top, above 10 tefachim, that's a problem, because it's a reshus hayachid, and your makom shvisa is going to be in a reshus harabim. The second case of the braisa, the pole is narrower than 4 tefachim. Now the pole's narrower than 4 tefachim, and then you put a basket on the top of it. And so what? Now here it gets tricky. Again, if you have some sort of picture book, it's helpful. I'm operating today without a picture book, but I've seen the pictures. So I have a visual of what we're talking about. I'll try to describe it. The kalkala mashlimoso la'arba'a. Now, yeah, okay. I'll hold it up, but we'll see what good helps. This pole over here standing in the Rishos HaRabim. I have a basket that's tied to the top of the pole. The pole by itself is not 4x4 tefachim. The basket by itself is not 4x4 tefachim. The combination of the two is 4x4 tefachim. Okay, now, here's where this part of the answer gets tricky. Okay, this is where it gets tricky. So, mashlim ala arba. The Rebbe, we're now in the top of Lama Gimel Beis, the Rebbe Sava Lekarev, Me'er Sava Lekarev Yehuda. Now, to achieve this magic, well, it's not magic, but to achieve this answer where it's not going to matter that's above 10 tefachim, I'm going to put Rebbe both on the side of Rebbe Meir and on the side of Rebbe Yehuda. What does that mean? So first of all, I need Rebbe Meir. We saw Rebbe Meir earlier in the Masechta. He was back on Daf Yud Aleph. If you remember, we talked about the case of the arch. And there's the requirement of a doorway has to be 4 tefachim wide. The arch kind of cuts into that 4 tefachim doorway. Rebbe Meir says, well, is there material over there? Good. We'll look at it as if it's carved out. This is the idea of chokikin lahashlim. Here too, basket's right up against the pole. The basket doesn't have 4x4. The pole doesn't have 4x4. Chokikin lahashlim. Meaning as long as there's material in the pole, we view it as if it's already carved out. Okay, this is the creative engineering of Rebbe Meir, this idea of chokikin lahashlim. So number one, we're going to say, like Rebbe Meir, chokikin lahashlim, which means now, good, I have an area of the basket that's considered 4x4, because I'm using the pole in conjunction with the basket to create an area 4x4, even though the basket, when I put the food in the basket, it's not 4x4, but using this legal mechanism, it is 4x4. That's one. Two, Savalakarev Yehuda Da'am Rabbi Inan Erev Agabe Makam Arba'a Veleka. There's another point to consider, and that's the following. My Erev can't be suspended in midair. Meaning, my Erev needs a Hanacha. Not necessarily, don't get confused with the Halacha of Akir and Hanacha regarding Shabbos, although it's very similar. But Akir v'Hanacha in terms of Hotzah Shabbos means that when I pick it up, I have to pick it up off of Makam Dalet, and when I put it down, I have to put it down on a Makam Dalet. Here, just simply, when I put the Erev down in anticipation that this is going to be my Makam Shvisa, it's got to be a placement of the Erev. Placement means it has to be on a significant location. We've said this so many times in our Masechta, 4x4 Tfachim is Chashav. It's a Makam Chashav. So it has to be placed on a significant area. So in other words, if I put my Erev down on in midair, which I know is impossible, but let's say not midair. Let's say I put it on the top of a stick. On the vertical top of the stick. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that's no good. Because it has to be on a Makam Dalet. So here, I'm putting my Erev down on the basket. The basket's not 4x4. It's not an area 4x4. But the basket's tied to a pole. The pole's not 4x4. The combination of the two is 4x4, but only when we employ the rule of Chokikin Lahashlim. So, by using the rule of Chokikin Lahashlim, I have now an area 4x4. And now I have this requirement of Rav Yehuda that in order for my Erev to be considered placed, it has to be on an area 4x4. So Rebbe's using both of these rules together to now arrive to my conclusion that it's good. Now, they don't contradict each other.
It has to be 4x4 before you add to it.
And right. And I know that. They're using one another. By using Chokik and Lahashlim, we've now arrived at 4x4. I understand. It's
But the other one sounds to be
it's tricky. And then there's another point to consider. And again, all this is in Rashi. All I'm doing right now is just saying Rashi out. And there's another point to consider. So wait a second. Let me get all this straight. So now I have my Erev, which I placed in the basket. The basket is above 10 tefachim. Now, where was my Makam Shvisa? So the Braisa told us. The Makam Shvisa was on the ground. So now, how is that going to work? My Makam Shvisa is on the ground. My Erev is located in a basket above 10 tefachim. So aren't me and my Erev not in the same spot? Meaning, isn't it hu ve'eruvo eino b'makom echad? Now, right? How is it different than the Mishnah? The Mishnah talks about putting on a tree, and if I put on the tree in above 10 tefachim, so then we said, Erev's in the Rosh Hashanah Yachid, my makom shvisa is in the Rosh Hashanah Rabim, no good. How is this any different? And so Rashi explains, it's different here for the following reason. The basket's not a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Okay, this is, again, now we're taking everything we learned over the course of these past couple of months, and we're putting it all together right now. The Erev is, I'm sorry, the basket's not a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and why not? Because in order for something to be a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, it has to be 4x4, and it has to be 10 tefachim high. It has to be 4x4 for the totality of the item. So in other words, it has to be 4x4 from the top all the way to the bottom. If it's not 4x4 throughout, meaning if it tapers down, that's not a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Okay. How do we know this? Rashi says, remember, we did this in Shabbos. Rashi, I'm looking at Rashi right now, so this is not called cheating. Daf Kuf Aleph and Shabbos, where the Gemara over there talked about the boats. The boats, like all boats, what happens with a boat, so the structure of the boat is that obviously on the top it's wide, but then it narrows down and it comes to a V. Those boats are not a Rosh Hashanah Hayachid. Why? Because in order for a boat to be a Rosh Hashanah Hayachid, it has to be 4x4 from top to bottom. And because the boat is shaped like a V and it comes down to a V, so therefore the bottom is not 4x4, therefore it's not a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Similarly over here, our same story. Meaning this basket attached to a pole is not a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Yes, on the top it's 4x4 because I have pole plus basket using the mechanism of Chokik and Lahashlim. It is 4x4 on the top, but then it tapers down. Obviously the basket stops. And then all you're left with is just narrow pole, so it tapers down, and it's not 4x4 in the bottom, so therefore this area is not considered a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So, what do we know? If it's not a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, it's whatever you want to call it. You can call it a Carmelis, that's fine. You want to call it a Makom Patur, maybe that as well. It doesn't even matter anymore. As now that it's not a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and remember, according to Rabbi, you can violate Isuri Derabanan in order to access your Eruv, so then you're good. So then what you're going to do is you're going to just simply take from the basket and bring it down to the street where you're standing. Wonderful. That is now how we're understanding the case of the basket. It's a complex answer. It's based on putting together multiple Tanayim in order to arrive at this answer. It's understanding how this basket is not a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Okay, good. It's the real complexity of Erevin all comes together right now.
Well, what I don't understand. What does Rabbi Yehuda's help? What does it help?
It doesn't help. It's a requirement. It's not a help. It's just simply a requirement.
But it doesn't have a requirement because it doesn't have four. The basket not sitting on a 4x4. It's only 4x4 by adding the pole.
Correct.
So how does that? I don't know what.
Without
what does he need?
Without Chokik and Lahashlim.
No, I don't understand. This body needs. But what does he need Rabbi Yehuda? That's what I don't understand.
He needs Rabbi Yehuda, just simply, in other words, let's put it this way. We're explaining a braisa.
It sounds to me like it's a contradiction.
No, it's not a contradiction. We're explaining a braisa. I'll tell you what. It's a fair question. Let's talk more about it later, okay, because it's fine. It's already complex. So Chokin Lahashlam Vasav Laka Rav Yehuda Dam Rav Yehuda Erev Agabe Mokam Arva Leka. Okay, my Rav Yehuda did Tanya Rav Yehuda. So what just happened? Yeah. So Chokin Lahashlam Amay Amokam Valeka. I'm sorry. Chokin Lahashlam Vasav Laka Rav Yehuda Dam Rav Yehuda Erev Agabe Mokam Arva Leka. Okay, my Rav Yehuda did Tanya. Rav Yehuda Omer. Now the Gemara says, first of all, an introduction to the position of Rav Yehuda. Fine, no problem at all. We learned in a brayso of Yehuda Omer. Now it's Korah Birushos Haram Vehinei Acheruvo Aleh Gavol Yud Verach Vadalin. So I put a stick in the ground and I put my Erev on top of the stick and it's 10 tefachim high and it's 4x4 tefachim wide. So Eruv, the Erev is good. Vehimlav Eruv. And if it's not those dimensions, the Erev is not good. So the Gemara says, hold on one second, what in the world are you talking about? Adraba, Huve Eruva Bemakam Echad. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. That's you and your Erev being in the same place? Meaning, if the pole is 4x4 and 10 tefachim high, that pole represents a Rishus HaYachid. And assuming that your Makom Shvisa is in the street, you and your Erev are not in the same place. Elahachi Kamer, Gavoa Asar Tzarech Shiehe Berosha Arba'a, Ein Gavoa Asara, Ein Tzarech Shiehe Berosha Arba'a. So the Gemara says, that's not what Rabbi Yehuda meant. Here's what Rabbi Yehuda meant. If your pole is above 10 tefachim, so now your Erev has got to rest on a Makom Dalet. So therefore, the total surface area of the pole must be 4x4 tefachim. If it's not 4x4 tefachim, it's no good. Because of this requirement that your Erev has to be situated on a Makom Dalet. Sorry. If the pole is below 10 tefachim, then the surface area of the pole does not need to be 4x4 tefachim. And therefore it's going to be fine. Now, just as a point of interest, why? Meaning, the first half we totally understand. Meaning there is this requirement that when you put your Erev down, it has to be on a Makom Dalet. Good. So if your pole is above 10 tefachim, so now it's out of the Rishus HaRabim area, so now the top of it has to be 4x4, otherwise your Erev is kind of like hanging in midair. But if your pole is less than 10 tefachim, so then it's okay if the pole is not 4x4? Why should that be? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi obviously is bothered by this question. The Imlav Ein Eruvo Eruv. No, not that Rashi. I'm sorry, the next Rashi. Ella. And again, Rashi is bothered. I understand, aren't you and your Erev not in the same place? And Rashi says, the virtual Rosh Hashanah that we spoke about earlier today.
Now,
Rashi is going to here explain why is it that if your pole is below 10 tefachim, so then the top of the pole doesn't need to be 4x4? Rashi explains, Kevan de la mata me'asara, hav yalan keman de mancha a'ara. Interesting, says Rashi, that if the pole is below 10 tefachim, it's as if it's situated on the ground. Why? Because if it's below 10 tefachim, we have this principle of kluta. Do you remember we spoke about it in Shabbos, in Perek HaZorek, when we were throwing things through a house, right over Rosh HaYachid, through Rosh HaRabim, and we were talking about this principle of Kluta Kemishahun Chadamya. So Rashi invokes that principle over here. If the pole that I put my Erev on is below 10 tefachim, so now it's in the airspace of the Rosh HaRabim, yes, there's a requirement that my Erev has to be sitting on a Makom Dalet. You got it. How do you have it? Invoking the principle of Kluta Kemishahun Chadamya. Again, another concept that really, you think about it, try to wrap your head around it. Okay, again, more difficulty in today's daf, more complexity. Okay, so it's a tough daf today. I don't know how else to say it. It's just there's a lot going on. Yes.
So why don't we use that concept with the sukkah? And we have to use lavud in the three
tefachim. We use the concept of lavud in the sukkah.
Right. So in other words, it has to be three tefachim.
Yeah, but over here, no, this concept, it's not the concept of lavud. It's, oh my gosh. Okay, I'll tell you what, again, ask me afterwards. come back to me afterwards, we'll talk more about it after, yeah. Okay, Rabbi Yossi, Kamandalok Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Now, as far as this case of the basket's concerned, so you know who I think is going to disagree with this? It's not me talking, this is Gemara talking. You know who I think is going to disagree with this? I think Rav Yosef and Rav Yehuda is going to disagree with all this. Why? D'tanya. Because we have a Braisa. Now this Braisa should sound familiar. This is now the third time since we started Chas that we went over this Braisa. Okay, if that helps anybody. Rav Yosef and Rav Yehuda, Omer Natz, Kana Berushos, Arabim Vinech Berushos, Traskal. I take a pole, I stick it in the ground. I put a basket on top of the pole. So Vizarek V'nach HaGabav. And now I throw on top of the basket. Okay, so basically, it's the earliest form of basketball. Okay, so pole, basket on the top, shoot, score. In this case, the word is not score. The word is you just violated Shabbos. Now, again, it's assuming that you're shooting from a Rishus HaRabim, okay, to a Rishus HaYachid. Now, why is the basket a Rishus HaYachid? Because it's 4x4, and it's above 10 tachim off the ground. Now, again, in our very early basketball hoop, so it's 4x4 on the top, but it's what is it now from that point going down? It's just a pole. And didn't we say that in order for something to be Rishus HaYachid, I need the 4x4 to continue all the way down? So the Gemara is suggesting now that Rav Yehuda is not going to, he's not going to subscribe to all this. So the Gemara says, nah, that's not so quick. I feel the tamer Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda, hasam hajra mechitzasa, hachalo hajra mechitzasa. And the Gemara, in a very cryptic answer, says, no, here the walls have returned. The return of the walls? What does that mean? So Rashi explains, over here in the case of the basket, look, it's a basket on the very top of the pole. Okay, so I compared it to a basketball hoop. Not exactly. Meaning, the basket is really a structure itself. The basket has walls. We engaged in this discussion earlier when we talk about walls. Walls go up, walls come down. There's this idea of good asik and good achis. Here, the rim of the basket, or the walls of the basket, good achis, continue to come down. It's a halachic mechanism, but it works. So therefore, in this case, when I throw something on top of the basket, do I have a Rishus HaYachid going all the way down to the ground? Check. Based on this principle of gunachis. In the case of the basket attached to the pole, it's not on the top of the pole, it's pressed against the side of the pole. I don't have the walls dropping down on all four sides, and so therefore there, it is not a Rishus HaYachid, because I don't have these walls descending down. Okay, that is how Rashi understands this answer of the Gemara, of Hadron Mechitzasa.
I think Daniel's question is better now. With good achis, once you do the sukkah, what is it?
Right,
you could go higher.
Right.
It's a better question.
You gotta also keep in mind that any mechitza where gedim bokimbo is not a mechitza. Now if it's suspended walls. So is that, if that's true, so why over here is this gonna be good walls? So again, there's much to consider. We're literally scratching the surface, if that. Okay, Rav Yirmiya Amar, now good. All this was to explain the case of the basket. Okay? Meaning, on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, we had a Braisa, and the Braisa described that there's this basket, or even if it's above 10 Tfachim, and my Erev is in the basket, it's fine. So what has been our first approach? Our first approach is that the basket is not a Rishus HaYachid. Why not? It's pressed against the side, it tapers down. That was our first approach. The Gemara now is going to give a totally new approach to the case of the basket. Okay, not where it's pressed to the side of the pole, but a fundamentally different approach. And that is the following. Rav Yirmiya Amar, we are 6 lines from the bottom of the Amud, and we're on Lama Gim Amud Beis. Rav Yirmiya Amar, Shani Kalkala Ho V'yachalin Tosa, Ula Havia L'toch Asara. You know why the Erev is going to work? When I put the food in the basket, in the basket's above 10 tfachim, it's really easy. I can always tilt the basket. So in other words, I can always tilt the basket. Ben, your timing is perfect. I'm not going to tilt this because I fear, I know. I spill by accident. I don't spill on purpose. And I spill on accident pretty often. But in other words, no, I'm not going to spill. But in other words, here it is now. The Erev is situated above 10 tefachim from the ground. It's on a pole. And okay. And let's even say it's a Rishus HaYachid. Okay. And my Makom Shvitz is on the ground, meaning in the Rishus HaRabim. So how am I going to get my food? How do I have accessibility to my food? So Rav Yirmiya says, it's really easy. I'm not going to do it. I see you getting nervous. You tilt the basket. That's all. And you tilt it so low that now the rim of the basket goes below 10 tfachim, and now you're good.
It could be almost all the way.
Okay.
You don't worry about the robe of the body.
It could be more than 90.
Yeah, right, correct. Again, a lot of follow-up questions. I'm ready to entertain all the follow-up questions, just not now. So the good. But in other words, you tilt the basket, and now, so as the thank you. So as the Erev now is coming out of the basket, it's sneaking out below 10 tefachim. Good. That's Rav Yirmiyah's answer. Now the Gemara says, "Olavila tochasar yasav rapav v'kamar lahashmaita esvei rav bar shava l'rav papa." And the Gemara says, "Okay, so you're basically telling me because there's a potential of me extracting my food from the basket, and I don't have to extract it in the Rishus Yachid, but because there's a potential, so that then you're good. You and your Erev in the same place." So, if you're ready to entertain this idea of potential, so let me ask you this question. Now, the question is a little bit complicated. I'm going to give all the background for us to understand the question. And it's a little bit of a stretch in terms of where the question is coming from to where we are right now. But the basic idea is that we don't engage in potentials. Meaning, if right now the basket is above 10 tefachim, and right now, in order for me to access the basket, ba'asher hu sham, as it's right there, I'm going to need to reach over the top, grab the food, and I'm taking it from a Rishus Yachid. And the Gemara is now about to argue, we don't look at potential, at what I could do with the basket. And here's how I know that, based on the following. Now, we're about to learn a Mishnah together, which truth of the matter is we're going to see later on in our very perek.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's not potential, meaning during the Banos Mashav thing, I know I'm not there. But if I were there, I'd be actually accessing my Eruv. But
if
here, if I'm there, by accessing it, I'm going to be violating an Issa Daraisa. And the our argument is, well, I could tilt the basket. No, but you didn't. In other words, the basket right now is where it is. Can I do that during the Banos Mashav period? I guess I could. But there, I'm actually manipulating the structure. Meaning, I don't have to be there to actually take the Eruv. But if I'm there, I got to be take the Eruv
without doing
anything else. Without any manipulation. I mean, that's basically what the Gemara is arguing.
If on the bed, as long as you go up and get it, the same thing.
But I'm not changing anything. I'm just climbing a tree. Here, I'm actually changing the scenario. I'm taking a basket, I'm tilting it to the side. And what the Gemara is about to ask is, you can't change the scenery.
If you're there on Benjamin Shmuel, you don't even need to touch it.
Again,
you're not touching anything.
Agreed, but you have to be able to access it during the Benjamin Shmuel period.
The presence there established your Tichum, no?
Yes, you're right. And it's funny, I didn't even give that away yet. Yes, you're right. But right now, we're assuming that you're invoking the food as your Erev. If you were there, you yourself can create the Erev Tchum, but I haven't let that one out of the bag yet. Okay. Only because the Gemara hasn't done that yet. Because your Makom Shvisa, you designate your Makom Shvisa to be on the ground. By the way, if you designate your Makom Shvisa to be in the basket, which is a strange place to create your domicile in the basket, but if you did that, that would work, presumably. Okay. So let me just a couple words of background before we start with this Mishnah. This Mishnah over here is going to be dealing with the following scenario. I have Yontif, which is on a Friday, followed immediately by Shabbos. So far, so good. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to create a Erev Tchum. Now, there's a larger question, which we're going to talk about in just a short couple days from now, when Yontif and Shabbos are contiguous to one another, when they're side by side, like Friday Shabbos, Friday being Yontif, so is that one long day of Kedusha, or is that two separate days of Kedusha? That's a larger question, which we're going to get to, and we're going to discuss it, and as you could probably guess already, that's a machlokas. Okay, but right now, we're not dealing with the larger question. The smaller issue is, how do I make an Erev Tchum for both Yontif and for Shabbos? By the way, Tchum is just as much an issue for Yontif as it is for Shabbos. You're allowed to carry on Yontif, but you can't walk beyond Tchum on Yontif just like on Shabbos. That's a fact. So now, how do I make my Erev Tchum for both Yontif and for Shabbos? And the simple answer is going to be, we're going to see this later on, is that I got to go out twice. I got to go out on Thursday afternoon, set up my Erev Tchum on Thursday afternoon and let and hang out over there during the Bein HaShemashos period, or leave my food over there during the Bein HaShemashos period, either way, and now I have an Erev Tchum set up for Yontif. Then, Friday afternoon, I got to go back in order to set it up for Shabbos. Now, obviously, we're considering Yontif and Shabbos as two different days of Kedusha. If it's 1:48 long hour, one day of Kedusha, obviously I don't need to go back. So right now, for our purposes, we're looking at it as 2 days of Kedusha.
What are you doing differently on Friday afternoon?
You're doing nothing differently, but you have to reset because your Tchum only works for 1 day. It's only a 1 day. So it's only a 1 day change of address. Oh, you don't know? No. Well, okay. So now, what exactly do you do? That's the Mishnah we're about to learn. Ketzad hu oseh. So what exactly do you do? So what you do is on Thursday afternoon, like just like I described. On Thursday afternoon, you go there, you drop off the food. And you take your food. What? You take your food? Sure, of course you take your food. Because it worked. The fact that your food, and by the way, you were there during the Bein HaShemashos period, meaning that it effectuated your Erev. Your Erev Tchum is now locked into place. As I mentioned now already a number of times, after the Bein HaShemashos period, the food doesn't need to be there. Okay, good. You take your food with you, you go back home. Now, on Friday afternoon, you go back out there with your food, you put your food down over there, and that'll create an Erev Tchum for Shabbos as well. B'sheni machshei chalav ochlo v'alo. Okay, now, the Gemara wants to know, if you're all about potential, right, this is, the Gemara doesn't even, the Gemara does ask the question. The Gemara spells out the question. We're now on the top of Lamed Dal Lamed Aleph. Amai, name a kevin dehai bayi amtuye, mati mematile, afa gavdolo amtiye, kemanda amtiye dame. So the Gemara says, if you're all about potential, why do I even need to schlep the food out there for our second day, meaning for Shabbos? As long as I potentially could have brought the food out over there, isn't that going to be enough? Much like over here, you're looking at the basket. Well, I could tilt the basket, and because I could tilt the basket, that's going to be enough. Isn't the idea that, look, I brought the food out there over day one, so you see I'm ready, able, willing, and able to do it. So can't we say that potentially I could bring my food out over there for day two? Isn't that going to be enough?
What if the food is not there and you haven't established it's still there?
What?
I mean, like, you're looking at the food is still remaining from the day before.
No. The Mishnah actually describes where you went back out there.
With new food or food from the day before that you already...
Doesn't matter. In other words, doesn't matter. Food. From yesterday, new food. Doesn't matter. As long as it's food there. Wait, just give me a moment. So, the Ibayam Tuye Matam Amtile, I forgot the Lam Tiye, come on, Dam Tiye Dummy. So the Gemara says, so why don't we look at the potential? I'm a Rabbi Zerik, Zerah Mishum. Well, there has to be a line. I don't know where the line is. There's got to be a line where you need to do something. You got to demonstrate something. So Mishum Yom Tov Shechalios Achar Shabbos. So the Gemara says, you're right. There, the potential is good enough, but let's say we flipped it. Where it's Shabbos Yontif. Yontif falls on a Sunday. It's going to be a problem. Why? Because as opposed to on Yontif, where Friday afternoon, I can carry Shabbos, Sunday, Shabbos, I can't pick up my Erev Tchum and carry it to that spot. It's Shabbos. You're not allowed to carry in Shabbos. So I can't carry it to that spot. So in other words, and so what the person's going to say is, well, I can't carry, but I guess it works. No, here it will not work. Because you can't carry, there is literally zero potential, and so therefore Shabbos Yom Tov won't work. So Rabbi Zera explains that it's a gzera. Friday Shabbos, yes, you're right, it would work in theory, and not only in theory, it would work. But the Chachamim were concerned that if Friday Shabbos, I lay down one Erev and it works for both Friday and Shabbos, people will then think Shabbos Sunday, it's got to be the same. And so that people do not walk away with such an erroneous thinking, so therefore the Chachamim banned it altogether. Okay. Here we have another Braisa, which again is going to challenge this idea of potential. Where? My intention was to make Shabbos and to make my Makom Shvisa on the ground, meaning Rishos HaRabim. And I put my Erev in a wall. and it's below 10 tefachim, check. Eruv, Eruv. Because below 10 tefachim is within the Rishos Rabim area. Lemala miyut tefachim, if I put it in a crevice in the wall above 10 tefachim, ain Eruvo, Eruv. Not a check, but rather X. Because my makam shvis is the Rishos Rabim, the Eruv is situated in the Rishos Yachid, in the wall, No good. Now we were joking a moment ago of making your makam shvis on the top of a basket. Okay, now it no longer becomes a joke. There is a migdal. There's some sort of chest, an ark. I mean, obviously the aron is a bad example because you're not going to be standing on top of the aron. But in other words, there's a chest in the Rishos HaRabim, and my intention is to make my makam shvis on the top of the chest. Okay, so where's my makam shvis on? Basically, on a Rishos Yachid. And if I put my Eruv in a crevice in the wall that is right next to the chest, and it's above 10 Tfachim, you're good. Check. Eruv or Eruv. Why? Your Makam Shvis is in a Rishos Yachid. Your Eruv is in a Rishos Yachid. You have access to your Eruv. If, however, I put my Eruv below 10 Tfachim in a crevice in the wall, Ein Eruv o Eruv, it's not a check, it's an X. Why? Your Makam Shvis is a Rishos HaYachid. Your Eruv is in a Rishos HaRabim, opposite of what we've been discussing, but same idea. So you and your Eruv are not in the same place. Okay. And now the Gemara wonders, what's the big deal? Meaning, why not just simply tilt the chest? If you're all about potential, and you're all about, well, we can manipulate the surroundings, so why not tilt the chest? V'amai. Hachinami neima ho v'yachlin toso ulahavi alasoch asara. So bring the chest now, so that, tilt the chest down, so that now the chest is besoch asara, it's within, tent fachim from the ground. So now, you can easily access, not just easily, it's not an issue of ease, you can halachically access the bread, which is below 10 tefachim. Good. Another question against Rav Yirmiyah. I'm Rav Yirmiyah, hacha b'migdal, misumar askinan. So Rav Yirmiyah says, that braisa doesn't bother me. A, could be the chest is nailed into the wall.
Can't tilt it.
For potential, there has to be at least an ability to do so. Okay. Rav Amra filotema b'migdal shena misumar. Rav says, I'll be also creative. Maybe the chest is not nailed into the wall. V'hacha b'megdal arucha skinan. The chest is really tall. And so what? Di'imamate le porta azuchutz arba amos. Remember, when you make a makam shvisa, it's your virtual rishos yachid. You're there. What's going to happen is that the chest is so tall, and I tilt it down, it's going to be away from my makam shvisa, and I will no longer be within my makam shvisa, accessing the bread in my makam shvisa.
But the thing is, if it stays above a certain height, then it's still not considered on the ground there, right? It's still access it, no?
Yeah, in other words, that's exactly
the height where it falls.
Correct. It's just a question of accessing. So, the Gemara just has one more suggestion in terms of creativity. Well, what's the problem? We don't want to tilt the chest because it's tall and I'm going to be outside of the framework of my Rishos HaRabim. Can't I make a hole? Not make a hole. You can't do that on Shabbos. But isn't there a hole on the side of the chest? And can't I thread some rope through the hole and basically get the bread through the hole on the side of the chest, and now I'm not lifting the bread above the 10 tefachim, but I'm bringing it through the chest, and isn't that going to be okay? The Gemara's answer is very simple. Delesne kafsa umasna, no hole and no rope. No. Okay. And that's it. And that ends what could easily be one of the more difficult sequences of our discussion in Erevin. But again, it's all guided by the basic principle that you and your Erev have to be b'makom echad. And it's just going to be an issue of whether or not it's halachically accessible to you, and we just engage in the discussion of, well, can we at least look at potential? And the Gemara doesn't totally resolve Rav Yirmiyah's question of whether we can.
If your Eruv is in a Drush Eved, and you're in a Drush Eved, can you get a chance from one to the other?
That's exactly the point. Right. So, what do you mean? Even if they're both Rishut HaYachid?
Two separate Rishut HaYachid.
So, let's first of all, transfer from one Rishut HaYachid to another, if they're owned by two different people, is only a violation of Issa D'Rabbanan. It's Rebbe. During the Bein HaShemashos period. Rebbe's, and we're subscribing to Rebbe. So presumably, so the answer is simply yes, you can. High board the kaihecha. Let's finish up. I'd like to get to the Mishnah. Okay, so let's finish up to the Mishnah. Nasim bebor afilu amok me'ama. Then the Mishnah goes on to describe where I put my eruv in a pit, and the Mishnah says, and even if it's 100 amas deep, now I don't recommend, meaning 100. That's a 200 foot deep pit. I don't know if that's the smartest idea. But again, we're not talking about prudency right now. We're talking about halachic efficacy. Is it going to work? And the Mishnah says, yes, it is. It's going to work. So the Gemara says, Nasu babor afilu amok me'ama, hay bor dekai hecha. Ilem dekai berushos hayachid. If the pit is in a rishos hayachid, pshita, the rishos hayachid ola l'rakiv, v'chi hecha desaka la'el, hachanami denachta l'tachas. Look, we have this. If the pit is in a larger enclosed area, we know Rishus Yachid goes up ad infinitum, goes down ad infinitum. So it is, if that pit is in a Rishus Yachid, there'd be no problem whatsoever transferring from the pit to where you're situated on the edge of the pit. So the Ela Dekai Rishus Harabim is Kabbalah Shpos Hecha. So the Gemara says the pit's in a Rishus Harabim. Okay, Bor Rishus Harabim, which I know in Baba Kama is like a major no-no, meaning your pit in the Rishus HaRabim, you're going to be responsible, if you're the one who dug the pit, you're going to be responsible for all liability and damages done by that pit. But we're not learning Baba Kama right now, we're learning Erevin. So right now we're just focused on, is your Erev going to work? Now, where did you put the Erev? So, I lamalahu b'makam echad ve'eruv b'makam acher, if you put your Erev on the edge of the pit, That's not fine. That's a big problem. The pits are Rishus Yachid. Your Erev is in the Rishus Rabim. That's obviously out of the question. Ilam mata pshita. And if you put the Erev on the bottom of the pit, so then it's going to be fine. In other words, where's the Chiddush? Hu ve'eruva b'makom echad. Lo tzricha dekai b'karmelis. The Gemara says, I'll tell you what the Chiddush is. The pit's in the Carmelis area. V'nis kavlo shmos lamala. Your intention was to be shoveis in the Carmelis area. V'rebi hi damer kol davashu mishum shmos lo gazor ala ben hashmashos. And the chiddush is your eruv.
A few minutes, Dr. Halley, that's a little bit delayed. We'll announce in a few minutes when we're going to begin.
Your eruv is now in the pit. Your makam shvis is at the edge of the pit. The edge of the pit is the Carmelis. And now, am I allowed to transfer from a rishus yachid to Carmelis? Answer is no. But what kind of violation is that? That's an Issa D'Rabbanan. According to Rebbe, you're allowed to violate Issa D'Rabbanan during the Bein HaShemashos period. Our Mishnah, we've already made this point, but we're making it now again. Our Mishnah subscribes to the viewpoint of Rebbe, where you are allowed to transfer from a Rishus Yachid to a Carmelis during the Bein HaShemashos period. Therefore, you and your Eruv are within access of one another. Hu ve'eruva b'makom echad. Okay, Adkan. That ends our discussion of Hu ve'eruva b'makom echad. Not exactly, a little bit more to go. But we covered really the more challenging parts of this discussion. Okay, I strongly recommend review, meaning go over the Gemaras again. And any more discussion, more than welcome here. I'm here all day, but obviously I'm not available now. But short of that, call me, write me. Text me. Refuah shleima for Binyamin Zev Akon Ben Shemar Rivka for Rafal Zaka Avram Ben Yakir Avigal Rav Chananya Ben Akashim Rav Zakash Baruch Lizak Yisrael Fi Chacher Ben Torah Mitzvah Shenema Nechav Etzamanti Kol Yagdil Torah Vyadir.